It's July the 1st, 2017. You're moving at the speed of creativity with Wesley and Shelley Fryer, narrowcasting from Jackson Lake Lodge in Grand Teton National Park. Well, good afternoon and welcome to a podcast for Moving at the Speed of Creativity. I know it has been a little while, and actually I was very honored and thankful this last year to be highlighted as an educational podcast to follow, I think, by Edutopia, and I have not been publishing a lot of regular podcasts here, but Shelley and I have a lot to reflect on. We have been to the ISTE conference. We were able to be there for Sunday and Monday of the conference this year in San Antonio. And then, because of scheduling and just how everything worked out this summer, we flew up with our two girls to Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and then just finished a three-day iPad media camp yesterday. So we are sitting here in the beautiful Jackson Lake Lodge looking out over Mount Moran and Jackson Lake, and we are going to reflect a little bit while our memory is still not too faded about some of the highlights of the conference. So, Shelley, do you want to start talking a little bit about some highlights for you for ISTE this year?
Well, we decided to take a train from Oklahoma City to San Antonio this year. We were planning on just having a nice ride up with our daughter Rachel and getting some work done on the train. We've done this before with our family and thought it would be a great opportunity. And it was. However, we experienced quite a few delays on the train and about 4 hours to be exact. And I don't think it was as smooth this time as it was. But anyway, getting to San Antonio was wonderful.
And on that note, I think one of the things we talked about was Ed Camp Train. And
yeah.
Is it the Bedley Brothers that have done that before?
Yeah, I think the Bedley Brothers.
Yeah, so shout out to
the
Bedley Brothers.
Tim and Scott.
Yep.
In California.
Because they've, I think they did an Ed Camp train, and so.
Either they did it or they talked about
it.
Yeah, I don't remember.
What a great idea.
Yeah.
Amtrak line between Oklahoma City and Kansas City hasn't operated since 1979. And they're looking at reopening that line. But even if we went to Fort Worth, you know, down there and back, that would be fun. But anyway, it was definitely a great time for me, who normally does most of the driving, to get a lot of work done. So there were a few things I still had to finish.
That's true.
As we
always.
As we were finishing up.
The last minute. But anyway, it was great to get to San Antonio. It's one of my favorite cities in Texas, and I've had fond memories of going to conventions with my father. My father was a band director for 35 years, and that's where he had his TBA, Texas Bandmasters Association, every year. And so we really enjoyed having that time together. Our son got to take a few days off from work and be with us, and we stayed right on the river. And so anyway.
And that was where I was supposed to propose, so it always makes me think of that. But we didn't go on a ghost tour this time, and we didn't have any ghost tour trauma like we had last time, so that was good. San Antonio is always fun, though. I'll say on a technical note, we used Lyft instead of Uber quite a bit this time, and man, it was great. Just amazing how affordable when our two oldest kids, well, that's true. Rachel's sitting here and reminded us we almost died. There was a car that was going really fast, and I don't know if it was the driver's fault, but that was a little bit of an exciting ride. But other than that, it was great. And kind of weird to think about them laying the groundwork for, you know, automation and automated cars and everything. But every driver we've ever talked to that drives for both Uber and Lyft, and pretty much all of them do, you know, really does like Lyft better. So it's Lyft. And it seems like there's fewer folks using Lyft in different cities. But, it worked great. Well, we got to meet Mitch Resnick, Dr. Resnick, at ISTE, just briefly shake his hand. I had seen him present at ISTE a number of years ago, and as you may know, he is the founder of Scratch, works at MIT in the Lifelong Kindergarten Group, and so got to take our picture with him, and we'll include that in the show notes. And he was in the playground area right next to the posters, so we had a poster session to start off with right off the bat about STEAM projects. And that was a highlight. So what would you have to say, Shelley, as far as the poster session with Steam, and anything stand out for you in that? I was glad to not be alone. I think I might have been alone at a poster session a few years ago. And man, it can be crazy with so many people coming and talking. So it was great. I guess one good thing was we used Google Draw to create a collage and then printed that at a local print shop. And wow, that was just great. I had seen someone last year in Denver do that, where they just rolled out this colorful poster and had QR codes and everything like that. And so that definitely worked well. I was glad we did that.
Yeah, and if you know anything about the way my husband's mind works, you know it's always generating ideas. And so his poster had a lot of ideas and a lot of places to go to get Steam activities, and it was full of QR codes. So one of my favorite, I don't even think I took a picture because I think we were pretty busy, but one of my favorite things is to look out over the crowd and everybody having their phone up and trying to scan QR codes. And he had this one QR code on the poster. It said, "Scan this first." And I said, "Okay, if everybody will just scan that one, you'll get the whole thing already." Anyway, so that was kind of a funny moment to see everybody's phone sticking up in the air.
And on that note, if you'd like to access all the resources, actually, I probably should link. Well, you had a printed poster for your session with Russ as well.
Of course, yeah.
So
awesome.
I'll link it on there too, because we didn't put that. But if you go to the shortened web link, wfryer.me/ISTE2017, that will forward you to a page on a Google site where I had resources for all of my different sessions. And we'll go ahead and put links at the bottom for Shelley's session that she did with Russ as well of Newsomatic. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, we had a great poster session. My students have used and been really involved with an app called Newsomatic, and I have the educator version, and that allows my students for me to be able to switch their Lexile levels. It's a daily newspaper for kids. And Russ and his team.
Russ is the editor.
Yes, Russ is the editor of Newsomatic, and they write articles, news articles, specifically for children. See, these are not articles that originated as adult articles and then were just dummied down, but these are actually written for students, and they don't shy away from real news either. They feel like children need to know what's going on in the world, and so even on difficult subjects like Syria or the bombings, you know, that have been present in our news lately, they do have a child psychologist that vets all of those articles, which and their main purpose is to not to scare children or not to but to, they feel like children deserve to have real news. And it's not all, I mean, it's usually one real news article, but it's, you know, there's sports things in there when things are going on, and it's international, so it's not just football and basketball, but other sports as well, and Wacky Week and silly things and entertainment. And so anyway, I love the app. It allows students to read real news. It's very visually engaging. There are questions that they can answer. They can highlight text. It has a read to me feature that reads both in English and Spanish. It's easily with one click to transfer back and forth with that. And it allows students to respond to what they're reading to, and gives the student a voice to discuss, you know, and ask questions. And so there's a letter to the editor feature, and there's a drawing about what you're reading, anyway, so my students at school have enjoyed reading this, for over a year, almost 2 years now. And Russ is, I mean, I've reached out to him. We had the governor came and visited our classroom at one point.
The governor of Oklahoma.
Yeah, the governor of Oklahoma. And, we were able to do an interview with her and get it into the real jobs, section that they have sometimes. But I, you know, Russ and I have tweeted and followed each other, and, when it came opportunity to do an ISTE session, then I really wanted to highlight that, because it has been powerful, a very powerful part of my students' learning process, and really letting them know what's going on in the world around them. And so
And seeing
he flew in from New York, and we got to do a poster session, and he was able to. He is also Newsomatic now, is being offered through Mayan, which is a powerful e-reading program. And so Mayan now has a news feature, and it's an add-on to their program. And, you know, kids now can read an article about something that they've learned, grizzly bears and Yellowstone, and then they can go in and Mayan will, they'll have different books that students, when they want to dive in deeper and learn more information and, follow up on those interests. And, so anyway, that's just a really, great partnership, I feel, of two very powerful apps for students. And so I really enjoyed getting to, meet Russ and also to meet the people of Mayan who really have, students and teachers at the heart of what they're doing. So,
well, I had a chance to attend the morning session of a workshop that Jackie Gernstein taught that was about STEAM and STEM projects, and that was really great. And one of the neatest things that was actually included as one of the, I guess, consumables for the workshop is this little book called the Circuit Sticker Book. And we actually used that in our poster session, and we showed that off, and it's really great because one of the things, shout out to Megan Thompson, who is Seeing New Shapes on Twitter, and she's the elementary art teacher at my school, and she used an LED light circuit greeting card activity during the elementary STEAM night that we had at our school last year. But that same activity is scaffolded even better by this circuit sticker book, because you've got, in this little activity, you take copper conductive tape and put it down, and then you have an LED light that you connect positive and negative side, and then you've got a battery that has to be, you know, going the right way as far as positive and negative for the flow of electrons. And this sticker book has places where you go ahead and tape it down, because it just kind of shows you where to tape it. And then it has other connections. You fold over and makes a little light bulb. But then several other different kinds of activities. It's just great. And the book itself is actually licensed under a Creative Commons, I think it's share alike license. It might be non-commercial. But you can go ahead and make copies of these, and it really makes me excited about thinking of our STEAM studio, which we're hopefully going to do again in the fall for elementary kids after school, and scaffolding and giving more options as far as how those simple circuit projects with LED lights can go. And one of the things that Jackie mentioned, and I'll include a link to this post that she has, is how important it is to front load STEAM activities. And what she means by front loading isn't really making, like, doing the work. It's really, she says, I'll read this from the post. The post is called Framing and Front Loading Maker Activities. Quote, front loading is making clear the purpose of an activity prior to actually doing it. The idea is that if participants clearly understand the purpose of the lesson up front, that lesson will repeatedly show itself during the action component. And a lot of this ties to things we've heard of as far as Robert Marzano and strategies where, you know, you're identifying essential questions and you're letting students know about that up front. But you can also be using scenarios. You can specify standards and skills, asking questions that help students scaffold and sequence activities and connect it. And so just makes it much more intentional and also much more purposeful. And I think that is definitely important in STEM and Maker Ed activities. And so I really appreciated Jackie highlighting that. And I'm going to look forward to learning more about that and trying to strive to do that in the STEAM studio and STEM activities that we do. Shelley, you want to talk a little bit about Seesaw? And we got to get with Carl and Angela and tell a little bit about what we learned from them.
I love the energy that Seesaw had at ISTE this year. They were really on the ball, connecting with educators and, you know, getting educators to, you know, come by their booth, people that have, then some really creative Sylvia Duckworth and, you know, I mean, just a lot of people. And they put in a lot of energy with that and collecting videos and clips and, a lot of activity at their booth. And, I loved getting together with Angela and Carl one morning for breakfast and just finding out some of the exciting things that Seesaw is doing.
For people who don't know, tell them what Seesaw is, because we may have some listeners that don't know about
Seesaw. Yeah, Seesaw is a digital learning journal for students. It is, you can get a free account with that and allow to have two teachers into a classroom, or you can get a paid version, which allows you to track skills and standards and have multiple teachers involved, and then you can do Seesaw for schools. Anyway, I think the beauty in it, for me, it's been a game changer in my classroom, is it gives me a place to put all of the wonderful digital things that we're doing in the classroom, as well as making learning digital and making our learning visible to our classmates and the people in our class, and then as well as parents. Parents are invited in to their students' journal, and parents can be involved in that process. I mean, the way I use it may be completely different than the way another teacher uses it. And I think that's the beauty of it as well, is that Seesaw allows teachers to really manage their classroom and manage their features and choose the things that work best for them. They have a blogging feature that allows students to connect with other, Seesaw users and blogs. And, I've just been incredibly, impressed with their interface and the way that they listen to teachers and get feedback from teachers and parents and just about the quality of the app itself.
And there are some really good updates that are coming to the parent app that are going to allow parents to be able to readily, just like you can as a teacher, drill down for an individual student in an individual folder. Parents are going to be able to do that as well. And the parent app has not been updated in a few years. And there's also going to be some simplifications for the class app that are going to be good too. So we'll talk a little bit more about Seesaw when we start to debrief iPad Media Camp, because last summer was the first summer we used it, and it's a game changer as far as collaboration and sharing, for sure, in professional development. So I want to give a shout out to the teachers at Marietta School in Stillwell, Oklahoma. So we had several teachers and staff there, and also as part of Story Chasers, which is a nonprofit that I've been working with since, I guess, 2000, when was the Oklahoma Centennial? 2007. And they presented about this project now in its third year, called Literacy 3, which is for English language literacy, digital literacy, and Cherokee language literacy, because they have several Cherokee immersion pre-K classrooms. And so it was great to be with them and with Story Chasers, folks, and be able to share some lessons learned and especially student projects that the students have created. And Book Creator is one app on the iPad that has been really, really important for all of those teachers. And it was really, really great to see those project examples and be able to see them, recognized on literally an international stage. So that was the format was a lecture, but it was in a panel format, and it was actually recorded by ISTE. So if you did not get a chance to hear that and you are an ISTE member, you can check out the live video version, but I actually did record audio for that session, and then I had a chance to do a lecture session this year too on great iPad projects and activities. And so I will be posting both of those, coming up later this summer. I'm not going to be intruding on our vacation, which this is officially, this is officially the first full day of, I guess.
No.
But those will be coming later this summer. So, I want to also say one more thing in terms of, I didn't get to go to a lot of sessions. It was really thankful to have a chance to present, several this year. But one thing that I did go to was in the playground area, where they were talking about, Scratch and different ways for students to create games and interfaces. And so one of the best little moments there was with a teacher, if I can find this. Got my red badge of courage links for what Rachel was doing. Let's see, there's circuits, reflecting. Trying to go back here. Yes. He is Mr. Teacher Kevin on Twitter, and he was talking about lots of great games that his students are making. His name is Kevin Briggs. He's from Worcester, Massachusetts. And MrTeacherKevin.com is his website. And so I tweeted some photos of a really awesome game controller that hooks to students' feet that his kids had created with conductive copper tape and alligator clips to the Makey Makey, which is something that we've used before, but it really, boy, it really got me thinking about offering some kind of a creating your own games with Scratch Club or doing something like that with students. They also had this arcade joystick that they had created, and they had purchased it from Spark Fun for like $25 or something like that. But then they had put it into some plastic, and so they have buttons and a joystick, and it's all. This one is actually hooked up, I think, to a breadboard and to either a Raspberry Pi or an Arduino. I think it's an Arduino. But you can also hook that up to the Makey Makey. And so, wow, just very, very cool. And, of course, these are interfaces for games, and there's multiple layers of why this is good for kids. You know, it's not... We don't just want, I think, in this context, kids to be playing games other people have made. We want kids to be making their own games and sharing their own games and having other people play their games, you know, and learning concepts of game design and coding and, you know, not just being the consumer, but being the creator and making that whole shift. So anyway, that's something else I wanted to mention. Anything else stand out for you, Shelley, about ISTE that you want to mention or talk about or give a shout out to before we go to iPad Media Camp?
Well, one of my favorite things is always connecting with educators. Educators, you know, and meeting face-to-face and talking to people and getting ideas and networking. That's one of my favorite things to do. And so it was a little harder to do that since we were there such a short time this year. But I think that's always one of my favorite things.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Yep, it's great to be able to learn online and learn virtually, but there's so much energy that happens when we, you know, have a chance to get together face to face. And didn't get to do a live show, but did get to see Jason Neifer for the opening keynote on, I guess, what, Sunday night. And yeah, great to run into a lot of folks. This was the first year actually that I didn't make it to the bloggers cafe or the bloggers lounge, and I really would have liked to, but I ended up with 5 sessions. I did 1 Sunday, and then I did 4 on Monday, which was basically nonstop from 8 a.m. till 2 p.m. I was fairly dead after that, but it was great. I'm very glad I was able to get all those in. But, you know, certainly cut down on the networking, but we're glad to be able to go. Originally, we were going to just not even go to ISTE because of this iPad Media Camp opportunity, but by, you know, getting more sessions than we'd ever had accepted, and also being in Shelley's favorite city in the whole United States, it was good to get to go. So let's talk a little about iPad Media Camp, Jackson, Wyoming. Shelley, for people who don't know, tell them about iPad Media Camp. This was our 5th summer to do it.
Well, this is, iPad Media Camp is, well, it was Wes's brainchild, I guess. And it's really teaching teachers and highlighting ways of making and creating with our iPads. This year, I think it was the best workflow we've ever had as far as just simplifying our schedule, being very intentional about the skills that we were teaching. We spent 2.5 days, we've decided, is pretty good. Mixing in on the second day, an evening session, which I think worked really well. Wes will talk more about that later. But we had a fabulous group of teachers this year. How many did we have?
We had about 45 total. Yeah. That included the facilitators.
Yeah. So, and these were teachers that were not getting paid to get there, to be there. This was their choice to be there, for these 2.5 days. But it was a very eager group of teachers, you know, a great combination of men and women teachers. everything from pre-K and kindergarten through high school. Everybody was engaged. I think we created over, what, almost 300 projects?
Oh, over 300.
Over 300 projects in the course of that 2.5 days. So great workflow, great teachers. And in iPad Media Camp, we like to put the teachers in the role of the student. We're having them create media and add it to a student folder. So we're having them participate and do, and the teachers took this very seriously and created some amazing media based on the skills and the activities that we were doing.
So this year for iPad Media Camp, for the first time, I used badges, and Shelley helped me get these set up, and we used a website called Badge List. And so there's a couple ways you can get to this information. If you just want to go on Twitter to iPad Media Camp, that's the handle. You'll see a bunch of tweets from this week. And, of course, depending on when you're listening to this, they may or may not be the most recent ones if it's a ways from July 2017 when you're listening. But you can go to iPadMediaCamp.com. And then on that website, a couple links, you can click on curriculum, and that will take you to a Google site, which has all of the curricula from every iPad Media Camp going back, I guess, to 2012 that you can access and check out. And so at the bottom, you'll see our June 2017 Wyoming iPad Media Camp session. And so there was just a lot of simplification and focus that the badges, I think, helped us do this year, because we created two different types of badges. We created project badges that were the media projects that teachers were going to create, and then also supporting skills. I think we have about 10 project badges and maybe 9 or 10 supporting skill badges. And the thing that I loved about this, and we did not require everyone to join Badge List, we encouraged them to. It allows us to specify here are steps and requirements, for instance, to create a narrated slideshow. But then the exciting thing is the teachers and others can submit evidence and submit a link to their project. Now, again, we use Seesaw as our learning journal for this workshop, and it is so incredible. It is such a game changer, because in the past with iPad Media Camp, before last summer, you know, I was really trying to do too much, trying to, you know, encourage teachers to, I was helping them set up their own YouTube channels. Eventually I figured out it might be easier to just use a YouTube channel for the whole class and to log in and use that. But even though that's become easier with Google and YouTube, it's still complicated. And oh my goodness, to have, you know, 45 people in a workshop all creating, you know, the first project was an image collage, and then it's all shared, you know, within this stream in the Seesaw classroom that we have, and being able to see each other's work and like it and comment, and then just have teachers have that experience as a student. It's just, I've said this multiple times, it is absolutely my favorite professional development to do with teachers, and I really love the sequencing and the scaffolding of the skills. So day one, and this has pretty much stayed the same, but it's so much more focused now. Day one is, we call it image day, but it's also image and audio day. Day two is video day, and day three is ebook day. And so those badges, I think, helped us make some of the skills visible, because right off the bat, I mean, there's multiple things we're doing. We're scanning a QR code with iNigma. We're making a web bookmark, you know, to put down on our doc so we can readily get back to our curriculum website, which is our home base for iPad Media Camp. We're taking a screenshot. We're learning to crop the screenshot. I mean, you know, some teachers, these teachers particularly, I think, were very experienced. I mean, at the middle school, there have been one-to-one iPad. They have one-to-one laptops at their high school, but the teachers have iPads. And then at the elementary schools, it just varies by campus, whether they're one-to-one, one-to-two, one-to-three. But yeah, the badges were, I think, I didn't know going into this how we were going to actually use them, and how they ended up being used was as reference, and then also for the what I called exemplars. So those were the examples that we wanted to show, and we definitely showed fewer examples than we have in the past, but I think they were very powerful examples, and that workflow of you know, showing some examples, talking briefly about it in the classroom, and then giving teachers an assignment to create work really well. So the products that the teachers created were four on day one, four on day two, and then two ebooks on the last day. And so they created a image collage and then a narrated image, which they could do with Seesaw. And then we also showed them how to do that with Voice Record Pro. And then we did narrated slideshows in the afternoon on day one, first with Shadow Puppet EDU and then with the new version of Explain Everything. And then this worked out really, really well, I think, in terms of green screen. You want to talk about that, Shelley? We went from quick edit video to...
Yeah, we had quite the heated discussion over that one, didn't we?
Oh, we never have heated
discussions. Oh, yeah, we did. We had quite the heated discussion.
I've forgotten all about that. Honey.
I know, because I won the argument. That's why.
Yeah.
No, I think, you know, green screen can be really fun and simple, but it can also get very complex. And so we were trying to figure out how we could scaffold it in and get it in there with the
media
that we're
producing. And
not just be a bonus,
not just being an elective, because that's what I was thinking.
It started as an elective, because I think sometimes we can get really too complicated with it. And we wanted to be purposeful and we wanted to be meaningful. The best thing that I liked about this iPad Media Camp is that we're setting up purpose for the media that we were doing. And so, for instance, on day one, did you talk about how we, on day one with the pictures? I mean, Wes and I like to start with an activity, and we started with the marshmallow challenge. A design challenge. And we weren't really going for a STEM focus. We were going more for a media focus. And so we were having them take pictures and collect pictures and document the process so that they would have media to create in their pic collages, you know, because we didn't know what kind of pictures they had on their iPads, whether it was a school or personal
or whatever.
And
it's always fun to get everybody out of their seats,
sure.
Get them working together,
yeah.
Collaborating.
Group building, team building. So anyway, on day two, which was video day, you know, we had in mind the finished project that we wanted to do, which was an edited movie, you know, using iMovie, but we really wanted to start with some media in the morning. And so, what was the first project we did?
Just quick edit video.
Yeah, just quick edit video where we were taking, and we set it up kind of like you could do a, what was the original?
Well, we did paper slide first, actually.
Yeah, we did paper slide first. But then, and we use that as a reflection piece, and I like that too. So we reflected on the previous day using the paper slide video.
And we'll include
I guess
some
what I was saying with the green screen is that we had already done some media. We'd already used the camera roll. We were filming in the camera roll. We wanted to extend that media into using green screen so that we could add background. So again, we were scaffolding. We were introducing. We had already looked at how to get pictures from Pic Collage. So we talked about using photos for class. But giving purpose to the projects that we were doing, and not just, you know, the one thing that I think is very important to remember when creating media in your classroom, using your iPads and using your computers, is to make that meaningful and not just a separate technology lesson, but to make it a part of the already great lesson that the teacher is doing. So, so we wanted to create media that would fit in with the other projects that we were doing, that would give them some purpose and some more choices, and for our final project at the end of the day. So, we, you know, briefly set it up. We talked about green screen. We were lucky to have a media guy who taught media classes at their high school.
Carl,
and gave us some, you know, good tips on how to set up a good media shot.
He also said, this is a little nugget that I had never heard someone say as far as iPad media and video, and that is to really not put someone just in front of a wall or in front of a bookshelf where it's just really flat and uninteresting. It's better to have depth. So shoot that at an angle where the bookshelf is extending back, you know, have visual interest. One of the quick edit video examples we showed is trading an alligator tooth for a computer, which is was from 2010 from the Trapper's Rendezvous, which is a scout camp out that happens near Hutchinson, Kansas. Anyway, he was saying how, you know, that was a good example because there was complexity and interest, not enough to distract you from the focus of the person talking. But anyway, that was interesting because I think I've been guilty of that before, you know, myself, and with others just saying, hey, you know, just get in front of a bookshelf or whatever.
Well, and if it seems like we're jumping around from project to project, we kind of are, because again, we wanted all of these three projects that we were creating that day to to blend.
We had a sequence, though.
Yeah, we had a sequence.
And paper slide video is a wonderful, wonderful project, especially as a reflective project on day two, because it's old school meets new school, right? And we asked the teachers to, we showed them, you know, a couple examples, and then they drew, you know, landscape format just on pieces of printer paper, nuggets of and takeaways from day one of things that they learned. It's actually pretty funny. Rachel and Sarah joined us that morning, and they did a paper slide video about how to be a friar, which included a lot of interesting
family nuggets,
family vocabulary. We'll include a link to that if you'd like to see that. We uploaded that to the iPad Media Camp YouTube channel.
But I like the way we did green screen because we were filming with a project in mind.
We asked everybody to come up with one open-ended question for the day after paper slide, and that we were going to do three projects. The first would just be a quick edit video with either no editing or minimal, you know, trimming of the front and back. Then the next one was a green screen, and then they would do a third video, and they were going to edit those together. And so, do you remember what some of the topics were that people did? What's a showstopper for you or something like that that people were talking?
A game changer.
They were talking about integrity and honesty.
Right.
Places
you've visited.
That's right, Rachel. Uh-huh. Thank you.
A celebrity you've met.
Or you'd want to meet, I think.
Yeah, so it was an interview model.
So it didn't have to be school-based, but we wanted them to pick a topic. And that was great because in the past, I haven't been as focused in asking people to choose a theme for several videos. And this way, by the time we got to iMovie and talking edited video in the afternoon, they already had two of their three pieces together. They had done quick edit. I guess maybe they did the green. They shot the green screen after lunch, but that worked pretty well.
We tried to limit our instruction so that teachers could really maximize on their work time.
And that's the whole purpose: is that teachers are gonna be able to be students in an iPad integrated classroom, and then just gain confidence in creating different kinds of media products. So in day three, well, let's talk about Goose Chase. You want to tell a little bit about what happened on Thursday night?
So we stated earlier that we did a 2.5 days, but on our second day, we started late and we ended early so that we could have time in the square in Jackson Hole. And so when this course was offered, the superintendent of the school said, yeah, that sounds great, but I really want you to get the community involved. And so on Thursday night, we had a session. Wes found a great app that's kind of a scavenger hunt app.
Shout out to Peggy George and Classroom 2.0 because there was another app that they'd used at iPad Palooza we were going to go with, but Peggy mentioned Goose Chase.
And so it was awesome because our teams that had been working together in the workshop had the opportunity to invite a family member, a child, a person from the community. And so we had these teams that had these different challenges, and we were all over the square in Jackson Hole having fun. And Wes can tell you a little more about the app itself. But it was a great opportunity to get some visibility in the community, to have a lot of fun, to bond on a different level. So get the community involved.
Yeah, so Goose Chase facilitates media scavenger hunts. And they have a library of over 100 different challenges. And, I mean, some of them were, you know, find twins and take a picture with them. Surf on an ironing board, which was very challenging for our group.
You know, find a group of 8 people to fall asleep on the...
That are sleeping in a row.
Yeah, in the road. I mean, you know, just kind of fun, quirky...
Well, not in the road, but yeah, on the sidewalk.
Sidewalk, I guess.
Yeah. We did want to have people endanger themselves.
That's right.
Race somebody, yeah, race a stranger in a 100-foot dash.
Do a flash mob with at least 2 confused bystanders in the background.
That's right. And so everyone downloaded the app, and it just started. Actually, we started a little early at 5, and then, you know, it ended at 7:30. And so we actually had 3 groups finish completely all 32 of the challenges. And you got different points, you know, based upon, you know, how hard the challenge was or whatever. But that was – not only was that fun and really great as far as team building and, you know, being out in the community, Goose Chase – and You can use it free with up to 5 teams. We needed 10 teams, and so I did an educator account, which I don't know if it's discounted because I was doing it early. It was $50 for the year, but that allows me to have up to 10 teams, and then to do unlimited scavenger hunts. And so when it's done, during the hunt, you can go to the app and see the leaderboard and see who's ahead. You can go to the feed and see the different photos that are kind of coming in.
It was the hard thing because a lot of us, like, that used the data plan, which was what a lot of people were using up some of their data on that, who didn't have unlimited plans. And for us that were on, T-Mobile, we were having some hard time with some of our pictures loading and things like that. So it did have a few little quirks in it, but.
But, you know, it was overall, you could have multiple people logged in, and teams did. So there were some teams that said they had a lot of trouble with things submitting. One time I did have to go into Starbucks and connect to their Wi-Fi to get one of mine to upload. But anyway, at the end, as the organizer of the Goose Chase, you're able to download all the media. So there were almost 300 photos and short video clips. And so I downloaded all those by team, so they were in folders, put those into a shared Google Drive folder, and then shared that with teachers. So on day 3, which is an ebook focus, we had the teachers create 2 different ebooks. And the first one was an ebook just about the Goose Chase, and wanted them, kind of just gave them some requirements. We showed them, you know, book creator and examples of book creator. And then asked them to create an ebook that would use at least 10 of their pictures, include at least 10 recordings, and then also some reflections about what they enjoyed the most and how they might use this with students. Now, I hope we can find the link, and if we do, I'll put it. I think he uploaded it to our site. Carl, the media teacher we told you about, did a great story, you know, very creatively weaving together the pictures, and like he read the story as the audio and then exported that as a video.
It was amazing.
Yes, I mean, it's just so fun. So that was great. And then for the second project, we created a template ebook that was basically a learning journal of the entire week. And so it asked teachers to insert their
projects
in there in order, you
and
know,
reflect on them,
and then say, you know, and put in text and fill in the box that was already started, the text box. I learned, you know, in this project, I learned blank. And so
when they left, they had a journal and all of their projects in one place in an e-book so that they could refer back to that with links to the actual projects themselves.
On Batchelor's,
so,
yeah.
I mean, what a great takeaway to take with them to see. You know, we had it saved, of course, in our Seesaw Learning Journal, which was amazing because that really allows for everybody to see what everybody else is doing. But they also had this this e-book of all of their work and all of their projects. It's like a mini portfolio that they got to leave with. Here is my portfolio of this workshop. Real easily to doing that. And we're really looking forward to, one of the questions was, well, do they have more than an app? And the creator is now going to have a website as well.
So that if you have a Chromebook, you can work on this.
I don't
know
if it's up and working yet. The last time I looked, but they said it's coming this summer. So maybe they announced it at ISTE and I just wasn't there.
Right. So I think we've covered most of the things we wrote down. We are planning to do an online version at last of iPad Media Camp for next summer. We're both going to enroll in Tony Vincent's online class that he's doing. Is it on InfoPix? Is that what it's on this summer? Or is it on Google Draw? I think maybe it's on Google Draw. I'm not sure. Whatever it is, it's going to be awesome.
Because anyway, when Tony does anything, it's always quality and it's always awesome.
That's right. Tony defines the bar.
I have kind of a mini crush on Tony.
Yeah,
me
too, actually. he's going to teach it out of Google Classroom. We're not sure whether the degree to which iPad Media Camp online will be, you know, utilizing Seesaw, and or Google Classroom or something else. We're getting those ideas together, but, it's just been a wonderful time to be able to teach this together with Shelley and facilitate and tag team.
And we would love to do this more often.
That's right.
I think now that we have this model down, I think it's really quality, and we'd love to be able to do this more often.
Sure. So, shout out. If you're interested in summer 2018, get in touch with us. Twitter is one of the easiest ways. Shelley's S. Fryer. I'm W. Fryer. But you can find our contact information on our websites. And we, want to do a very high-quality job of this online. And in some ways, I think the online can even be better potentially than the face-to-face, just because there's such limited time that you have with people. And then folks are interested in different aspects, you know, whether they're a primary age teacher or a high school teacher. And I'm excited about where Badge List will take this. And please join our Badge List. Go to badgelist.com/iPad Media Camp.
Yes, and we really want some feedback on that, too, because we're hoping it is something that not only teachers will do, but teachers will see the benefit of doing some of these badges in the classroom as well.
Right, because you can copy those badges into your own class. We'd love for you to submit evidence. It's all free. Exactly.
Yeah, it's all free. I mean, we're not trying to monetize this. We just want to make it available to people and useful.
Well, I mean, at some point, we'd like to keep making money on iPad Media Camps when we, you know, go and do them, obviously. But, I mean, we're, as you hopefully know, if you've been listening to our podcast or reading our blogs at any amount of time, we're really big sharers, and we are beneficiaries of generous sharing, and we want to promote generous online sharing. And there's certainly ways, you know, for things to be monetized, but there's also so much room for open sharing. And so Badge List, the only time you have to pay for it is if you want a group to be private. And so in this case, I mean, heck, we want this to be public. And so would love your feedback on that, and look forward to hopefully not only the online version of iPad Media Camp in the summer of 2018, but also being able to go out and do a few of these. And on that note, I've got to finalize and confirm the dates, but there is a very, very strong possibility that we'll be doing one more iPad Media Camp in Oklahoma City the second week of August. And so I had some teachers from Edmond come up to the session I did at ISTE on iPad projects and ask about that. And last year we had maybe about 7 or 8 of our teachers at our school, and then one of our favorite McAllister STEM teachers come and join us, and hopefully we'll be able to have some other folks do that as well. So, Shelley, where can people connect with you online if they would like to learn more about your ideas? What's your Twitter and blog and all that?
Twitter at S. Fryer on Twitter, and I have a blog, shelleyfryer.com. So be looking for that. That's awesome.
And I am W. Fryer on Twitter. My blog is speedofcreativity.org. You can definitely check out lots of updates from iPad Media Camp on the iPad Media Camp Twitter handle. And we are probably not going to be focused on a lot of educational technology things for the next week or so, because we're going to be with our relatives up in Cody, Wyoming for the 4th of July and have a chance hopefully to attend the rodeo in Cody and the parade and anyway, enjoying that and some time with the family. But wanted to get this reflection in and get it shared out so that hopefully these ideas would be ones that you might be able to apply and use, and we would love your feedback. So thank you all so much for listening, and have a great rest of your day,
and
night.
Happy 4th of July.
And yeah, that's right. Happy 4th of July weekend.
Moving at the Speed of Creativity podcast are independently produced by Wesley Fryer and are licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Only license. Learn more at www.speedofcreativity.org.